rejoice from afar.
Yeah, Abram rejoiced from afar, Jesus said. What do you mean?
From heaven, I guess.
Yeah, certainly in heaven, but even before he got to heaven. Jesus wasn't born, if you look at your, did I list how many? Yeah, the first page. Abraham, about 2,000 years before Jesus. So that's really afar, right?
Yeah.
2,000 years before Jesus was born, Abram rejoiced in the fact God would keep that promise, that God would bring that Savior. Do you suppose Abram recognized that that Savior was the one that God had promised Eve in the Garden of Eden? You suppose Abram recognized that?
Probably not.
You think not? Other thoughts? Same thoughts?
Wouldn't that be something that they would pass down?
Yeah, absolutely. These big things were verbally passed down. Just like the flood was verbally passed down, that promise of the Savior was verbally passed down to the believers, for sure. So Abram rejoiced at the thought of seeing the Savior born, and he did see the Savior born through faith. He did see that Savior born through faith. This might be a good time also to talk about, I know the question is often asked, what about all the people who lived before Jesus? How were they saved? Did you ever wonder that about that question? Heard that question asked? You know what the answer to that question is?
Well, still by faith.
Yes. Yes. They're still saved by faith. What's the difference?
They hadn't seen it yet.
Yes. They believed God would keep that promise. They hadn't seen it yet, but they believed God would do what God said to do. Faith in the Savior. We haven't seen Jesus either, really, have we? But we believe God kept his promise.
Yes.
So the people of the Old Testament, people of the New Testament, all saved by faith in Jesus. God would send the Savior. God did send the Savior. And Abraham exemplified faith in the unborn Savior. 2,000 years before Jesus was born. Why did God share these incredible promises with Abram? What do you think?
To remind him?
Yeah, for sure. To remind him. And I would say also, Aubrey, to encourage him. I put those two together. To remind him of, you know, what God said he would do, and to encourage him to cling to the true God. To encourage him to cling to the true God. I think there was another reason too. It's kind of related. God said to Abram, leave your homeland. Leave your family. Leave everything you know. Go to a land I will show you. But here's 7 things I'm going to do for you. Another purpose, I believe, for God giving Abram these promises was to encourage him to go and do a really hard thing. So to encourage Abram to go and to encourage him to cling to the true God. That God had great things in store for him. How did Abram respond?
He went.
He went. That's right. That's exactly right. He went.
Well, those are pretty great blessings.
What did this show about Abram?
His faith.
He believed what God said. He trusted God, that God would bring about what he had promised. That's right.
He had a ton of faith.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though. Down the line, we're going to see some examples of... You're right, Tom. Absolutely right. But we're going to see some examples where Abram's faith kind of flagged a little bit. Yeah, and it's kind of interesting. Again, all these men and women of faith in the Bible, great examples for us. The Lord, it's like the Lord shows us a weakness in every single one of them. Just to encourage us, hey, you think you're not Abram or Sarai, you know, but they had their issues too. They struggled in life just like you do. How old was Abram when he left his old life behind? 75 years old.
No thanks.
I just moved. I'm not quite 60. I just moved, and I don't recommend it for the timid. Abram was 75, and he's going to a whole new country.
And walking.
And, yeah.
But again, he probably didn't have as many accumulations.
Yes, right. For sure. He didn't have the flat screen TVs and the yeah,
and all
right.
That fabric.
Anybody remember how old Abram lived? Abraham lived? I don't expect you to remember that, just curious. He lived to be 175 years old. Yeah, so still they had long lifespans, but clearly not as long as pre-flood, right? Remember what we were talking, 900 years, so that they lived a long time, but not as long as before flood, and certainly but longer than we do today. But it's interesting, you see those timelines, those ages just drop as you get further away from creation, further away from the flood. Yeah. You see those ages drop. It's kind of interesting.
Is it possible that as the population was growing, they needed to get rid of people? Is that, I mean, not get rid of people, but... You know, that's why they're starting to die younger, because there's more people being born. I mean, is that a possibility?
It's an intriguing question, Arlene. I think that that God has lovingly kind of controlled population throughout history in many different ways. War is a significant impact to population, obviously, plagues and things like that, and those are horrible things. But as fast as the human race was growing, they're probably, I don't pretend to know God's mind, but he probably did do some of that or allow some of that just to kind of keep things under control. I don't know, but yeah, as I said before the flood, I think it's pretty clear there were way more people than most people think there were. And post-flood, the human race just really started expanding very quickly again. So, yeah. It's a good question. I can't answer it definitively. Just hard to know. But Yep. Who went with Abram? Lot, Sarah, servants. It's a different world back then. They had, the nice word is servants, but they were essentially slaves. And that just was part of the way, the culture. Slaves were probably stolen from, just like, you know, happened in our history, were probably stolen from other countries, you know, caught in wartime, sold afterwards. It's hard today, at least for, hard for me to comprehend that, but it's just a part of the world. And so Abraham also had servants as well.
Since there have been slaves forever, and since we fought a war and did away with slavery, why in the world can't people let it go and recognize even that it's different than maybe historically?
Is your question coming from the fact that some people are still griping about pre-slavery?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. I don't have a good answer for you.
It's rhetorical.
But yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
Well, don't you think, though, when something horrific happens to you or someone you love, it is hard to let it go.
It is.
If you don't feel that there's been some justification.
It is, yeah.
But some of the people, you know, it's just like we pass our religion and we also pass our...
history.
Mm-hmm. History. And...
But also, I think, are you referring to like our mindsets, you know, about, yeah, so.
But there is a time to look and say, if things are better, sometimes you do have to let it just go.
Yeah, well, and all of this goes back to our sinful natures, right? It's just... humans will, in one way or another, will struggle. Yeah, always. Always have, always will, till the Lord Jesus returns and everybody's made new. Yes. Yeah. So where did God lead Abram?
Canaan.
Yep. Yep. Estimate how far Shechem is from Haran. Check the map below. There's a mileage guide there. Any... at a glance?
300 miles.
I would say, right. That's a good guess. About 300 miles, I think, too. So it's not a short journey. And they probably didn't have to walk the whole way, but you ever rode a camel or a horse for a long time?
For 300
miles. So, and just a quick comment. So again, that's kind of, we talked about that Fertile Crescent last week. It goes up, you can kind of see the green, it goes up and then down again. So from the east, goes north, then heads west, and then heads south. You see the arrows? Mm-hmm. The reason they don't cut straight across is because... Mountains is a logical guess, but, and there's some of that... but it's desert. Yeah, extreme deserts. Yep, so they stayed by the rivers where they had water and vegetation and things like that. From which son of Noah did the Canaanites descend? Answer is in Genesis 10:6. So we know Abram descended from Shem. What about the Canaanites?
Ham.
Yeah, they descended from Ham. Yeah. So Shem, Jews, Israelites, Canaanites, Ham, and then you have Japheth as well. Was the other son. And... I think that's kind of where the Europeans kind of came from. So it's kind of, I don't know enough about all that to know for sure, but that's kind of how typically people look at those different races. It's been a long, hard journey. I'm at the bottom of the page. How does God reassure Abram?
Yes, Peter.
He appeared to him. Yep. Lord appeared to Abram again. I don't know, how would you feel if, like, God just made a personal appearance in your life every now and then? I'm serious. Is that something they say, oh, that's awesome? Or are you saying, I'm not sure I want God just walking in on me? Yeah, a little of both. I think so, too. Yeah.
Anybody know what form he'd be in?
Yeah.
That's it. I know. Yeah. He took different forms in the Bible, right? Sometimes very glorified the Lord on Mount Sinai and over the tabernacle.
Oh yeah.
Smoke, right? Fire. You know, when God appeared to Moses, burning bush. When God appeared to Abram later down the line, we'll read about that, appeared as a man.
Oh, yeah, that would be something.
That, yeah, we'd probably be most comfortable with that appearance of God, right? That whole account is pretty fascinating, too.
Now, God in what person?
We'll get to that when we get. Oh, you'll have to listen.
What if he appeared as a woman? We just run and scared.
Oh, you are so much in trouble.
I'm just gonna move on.
Yeah. Would people know that that was God, though? I mean, would they know?
That's a legitimate question. That's one of the fascinating things about how did Abraham know that God was appearing to him as a man?
Right.
We'll explore that more down the road. But yeah, if God just appeared as a human being, how would we know, right? And really, why didn't the people recognize Jesus was the Son of God? You've seen all the pictures. He had a halo.
Sure.
Well, that's...
Did he have a halo?
No!
No, but that's to your point, though, right?
Yeah.
Jesus was a God-made man. Did people look at him and know, there's God? No. They knew it by what he said, by getting to know him. But just by sight, that baby in the manger, there wasn't a halo around that. He wasn't beaming. He was just another baby.
Oh,
how did the shepherds
beaming.
Had to be beaming?
Just
Mary was beaming.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right. Well, but that, I mean, the shepherds, how'd they know? The angels told them, right?
Right.
The magi, how'd they know? They're following the star. They didn't hear reports. There's a little baby born in a manger and he's glowing. I gotta go see that. So that's, isn't it, it's really fascinating, isn't it? I mean, Jesus, the Bible says he ate, he drank, he cried.
Yeah.
He had to have his diapers changed as a baby. His disciples saw him walk off in private to relieve himself. I mean, he was human. And so the concept that this is God walking in flesh, that's hard to grab with our minds. So at any rate, fascinating questions. It's things to wonder about. See if we can wrap this up. Got 5 minutes. God also gives Abram, when he appeared to him now in Canaan, an additional promise. What was it?
To the descendants gives the land.
Yes, he will give to your offspring, I will give this land. Very good. To your offspring, I'll give this land. There was a serious obstacle to this promise. What was it? All the people living there. The Canaanites inhabited the land. So, I mean, Abram's standing there. He's looking. Everything is different, right? He's never been here before. He hasn't seen pictures on the internet of what it's going to be like. He's in this new land. These people are speaking different languages. He's looking around, and God appears to him and says, I'm going to give this land to your offspring. It's a wonderful promise. But it was not something Abram was going to see in his lifetime. It was going to be to his offspring. And who knows how far down the line that was going to be. As it turned out, it was over 400 years later, right? Because that didn't happen until after Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, 400 years in Egypt, and God brought him back. And then 40 more years, right? In the desert. Because the people didn't trust God. So you're looking at like 500 years down the line. That's when Abram's descendants would take possession of the land. What did this mean for Abram? We were talking about that already. He would not own it himself. He would not be displacing the people that lived in the land himself. It was just him and his personal household. God kept his promise. He did. What was an even more significant obstacle to God's newest promise? Chapter 12, verse 6. Acts 7, verse 5. Also give you some insight.
Acts
to your offspring I will give this land. Well, Abram wasn't going to do it because he wasn't big enough at that point in time. What's the other obstacle? To your offspring I will give this land.
He didn't have any offspring.
He didn't have any offspring. Sarah was not able to have children. So Abram had no child, no heir. That's going to be an issue down the line, right? We talked about Hagar, Ishmael. How did Abram respond to God's blessing? And what does this show?
He built an altar.
Built an altar to the Lord, which shows that he
believed
him. Very good. Where did Abram settle? Genesis 12, 8 and 9 gives you some insight. Hebrews 11, 9 and 10 as well. Where did Abram settle?
The hills.
Yeah, well, he stopped there. He stopped there too?
Shechem.
Stopped there too? Didn't stay anywhere.
Negev.
Stop there too. Didn't stay there. He wandered about. He wandered about. He had no home. What?
He went to Egypt.
He went down to Egypt for a while too. He did. That's right. I mean, he lived in a tent. He was a wanderer.
He's a Bedouin.
Yeah. Yes. He was a Bedouin. Yeah. That's
so
right.
Was that all the land? Was that part of all the land that God gave him?
Yes, those places that have been mentioned were part of the land. And he'd go north, he'd go south, he'd go east, he'd go west. He just traveled all around, probably seasonal to some degree. You know what? He really had no home.
In verse 18,
yep,
it says he settled near the oak grove belonging to.
Yes. And when it says that, though, it means that he temporarily settled there. Yeah. Yep. Yep. So, I mean, did anybody look at the Hebrews passage? I think that's probably the clearest. Hebrews 11, 9 to 10. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country, lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. He was looking forward to a city with foundation, whose architect and builder is God. So, yeah, he lived in tents. He really didn't have anywhere to settle. He wandered the land.
The promised
land. Yep, the promised land. Yep. What did...
Screen TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did Abram do between Bethel and Ai? Built another altar, yep. And there he called on the name of the Lord. He worshiped God, proclaimed him openly. We will take our points to ponder next week, and we will move on in the life of Abram. Fascinating. Noah obviously was a key person in history, right? Because he and his children and their wives were the only ones to go through the flood. Abraham, though, is also a very key person in history. He is the father of the Israelites, the Jews. He is the father of the Arabs. And he is the father of all of Christians spiritually. He's a very significant person. All right. Let's close with prayer. Gracious Lord, we marvel at how you interacted with Abram, led him and guided him, made him promises, and how you had not only his life and his benefit in mind, but all of history, our own included, that we would be able to celebrate the Savior that came from his line, the Savior who's paid for all of our sins, and open heaven's doors for us. Thank you for everything, dear Lord. We give you all thanks and praise. Amen.